Hello, Money Multipliers. Welcome back to another episode of the Money Multiplier Podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Kessler, and we ask ourselves, do our dollars make sense? So y'all, this is the 100th episode. Oh my goodness, I can't believe we've been doing these for that long. So today, I am greeted by my lovely kitty cat. She's sitting right here in the window sunbathing. We're actually here in the van. We're still posted out here in California. And then also, I got some little flowers for a little ambiance and aesthetic in the background. So, actually, let me talk to y'all about that. So, this past weekend, I do a women's mastermind, and it's a group of us, seven ladies. We get together like two times a year, every 6 months. And one of the activities that we did was actually floral arrangements. It was so cool. I've never done anything like that. So basically, they had somebody come in who's a florist, and she was teaching us how to put together the vases. She called it vase. I thought that was so cool. She's from the UK. The vases. And she was showing us how to really build the structure of these floral arrangements. So look at my masterpiece. I did that. So it was really cool. I highly recommend it for like bridal showers, baby showers, corporate events. I mean, just kind of a fun little activity that you should do when you're getting together and maybe doing some team building with your gang and your folks in your community. So welcome back. Thank you for tuning in for these 100 episodes. I'm very grateful for the community, and I just appreciate y'all. I love y'all. I appreciate the support and the value that you bring to me, because, I mean, even myself, I learn every single day that y'all are tuning in, asking me questions that, hey, maybe I didn't think about that question, and I've been doing this since I was 18 years old, been around IBC since I was like 10, so it's just really cool just to see us evolve as a community, and even in myself as my own person, in my own financial life, my personal life, and the business relationships that I've been meeting. So this week, actually, I got together with two of my clients who, in my opinion, are now friends and family, who have been practicing banking with us going on close to 4 years now. So I got to see Mr. Dexter, shout out Dexter, and then also Terry. She took me to a really nice restaurant down in Del Mar called Jake's. Oh my goodness, I had the most amazing scallops, let me tell you. I freaking love scallops. So it was awesome. We ate right there on the water. We took a little walk after. And so I'll be seeing her this weekend too, because we got an event coming up down here in San Diego. I'll go see Pops. I'm kind of eager to go see my dad. It's been a little bit. You kind of don't realize how much home and family really means to you when you're not seeing them day in and day out. So I've been on the road now for about 4 weeks. I got 3 more weeks left on the road, and I'll be going back home to Florida here soon. So in today's episode, I'm going to kind of be looking down if you're watching me on YouTube. So I just got my notes here in front of me. But actually, I'll say this first before we get into it. If you are watching me on YouTube and this is the first time you're ever tuning in to one of my episodes, here, look at this little handy dandy phone case that I got here. Look at that. So scan that QR code. It'll take you directly to our presentation that's found on the moneymultiplier.com website, and that's a good starting point when getting introduced to the infinite banking concept. Maybe you are a person, you've been practicing this for some time, and you're trying to tell your family, friends, colleagues about this stuff. So have them just go to the presentation, because it really solidifies the foundation knowledge and understanding of why, what, how are we implementing this concept in our lives. So I would start there if this is something that's new to you or you're trying to introduce other folks to this concept. But in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the true value of a dollar. And I know in past episodes, I've kind of got into the weeds of it just a little bit, talking about, you know, how here in America, it's now fiat currency, because right when Nixon was president, he took off our dollar from being tied to the gold standard. And so now it's just like almost monopoly dollars, because the Fed and the government can really dictate and price how much of a purchasing power that our dollar really has, where the Austrian economist brain in myself and my mentors that I follow, you know, we should. I mean, it should be tied to something, so it can't just be easily manipulated from government or others, and really having the power of the people decide where the products or goods and services are supposed to be price point out here in the free market. So I wanted to kind of share just a little bit of background about the historical perspective of a dollar, and I'll link this down below, this link. It's from theofficialdata.org, and it's talking about inflation, but what they are saying, and sorry, y'all, I have this pulled up here. Okay. So what it's saying that $1 in the 1800s is worth $24.48 today. So literally in the 1800s, or I should even just be more specific and say the year 1800, our $1 that was worth a dollar back then is now worth $24.48. Literally 24 times has really impacted the inflation of our $1 and the purchasing power that we have. So let me just read like a little script here from what this website is saying. So $1 in 1800 is equivalent in purchasing power to about $24.48 today, an increase of $23 approximately over 224 years. The dollar had an average inflation rate of 1.44% per year between 1800 and today, producing a cumulative price increase of 2,347%. This means that today's prices are 24 times as high as average prices since 1800. And this is according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics Consumer Price Index. A dollar today only buys a roughly 4% of what it could buy back then. The inflation rate is 1800 was 2.44%. The current inflation rate compared to last year is now 3%. If this number holds, $1 will be equivalent in buying power to $1.03 next year. The current inflation rate page gives more details on the latest inflation rates. So, just to put in perspective, because we really think, actually, I was sitting in the car too, when I was at my women's retreat, and we were kind of talking about segregation and discrimination here in America, because I was talking about how, you know, my grandma, she's going on to be 87. Yeah, she's 87. Papa's 89 this year. So she's going on to be 87. And so she was born in the 1930s. And I was kind of talking about how grandma literally grew up riding to school on segregated buses. And we were kind of talking about how it really wasn't that long ago, if you really think about it, even like for us women. It wasn't that long ago when we just got our voting rights handed to us from the government and from the public. So if you really think about the purchasing price of the dollar back then in 1800, I know 1800 kind of seems like a long time ago, but y'all, it really wasn't that long ago. So just think me sitting here at 24 years old right now, just think what's going to happen moving forward in my lifetime, your kids' lifetime, you, maybe if you're in that Gen Z millennial generation like myself, just think about what's going to be happening moving forward as we evolve during this lifetime for ourselves. So it's just crazy and it's powerful, and we need to really understand how that dollar is going to keep losing and losing in value as every single year and day passes in our lifetime. So that's why, you know, when we go out and we teach on the infinite banking concept, we always talk about why folks are putting dollars away into these qualified plans, these government-sponsored plans like a 401k, IRA, and those different vehicles that are out there. And we ask the questions, well, hey, is our dollar worth more today or in the future? Well, it's worth more today. And if you ever forget about that, think about how many candy bars you could buy 10 years ago for $1 and how many you can buy today for a dollar. And taxes, are taxes going to go up or go down? They're going to keep going up. And if taxes don't go up, aren't we taxed on more crap all the time? So just think about 10, 20 years ago, your property taxes of what you've been paying on your primary or investment properties that you hold. You know, taxes are going to keep going up. And when we go and pay the tax, would you rather pay it on the small amount, the seed, or the large amount, the harvest? I'd rather be paying it on the seed. And so all of those answers are totally violated when we start putting money away into these other accounts, because what we're doing is we're giving up our good dollars today to get paid back with non-guaranteed. I won't even talk about that on today's episode, but to get paid back with non-guaranteed weaker dollars in the future. And taxes are going to keep going up. So when you put your money inside of those vehicles like a 401k or IRA, when you go and take out the money, now you're paying tax on the large amount, the harvest. So that's why with this concept and putting our dollars into a properly structured whole life policy that's designed for high cash value, we are paying our premiums with after-tax money. Because what I want to do is I want to pay tax on my money one time at the lowest rate possible, and then now get that money into a tax-free environment where now it's going to be growing tax-free for me. And that's what we're doing in the policy. And I say it all day long, y'all. The only reason that I'm hooting and hollering over here about whole life policies is because this is the only vehicle on the planet that allows me to do this with all of the features and benefits and the ownership that comes with a whole life policy. I mean, if I could do the same thing, I got my coffee in here today. Actually, shout out to the most famous brewery over there in Daytona Beach, Florida. But if I could do the same thing with these silicone cups, I'd be hooting and hollering to y'all about how cool these silicone cups are with saving our money, tax-free growth, having the freedom and the liquidity inside of these cups. But it's just not. It just comes from the whole life policy itself. So we got to understand that our money is always going to be worth more today than what it is in the future. And we need to use our good money today and pay everybody else back with the weaker dollars that are in the future. And just to talk about that, I think there should be some control that happens behind it too. Okay, you know, like here's a prime example, just pivoting off of qualified plans. But you know, a question I get a lot when I'm teaching this concept is, well, Hannah, why am I using a whole life policy and why am I not using that new shiny object out there that's called the Index Universal Life? IULs are the acronym for them. Well, the reason being is because I want to control the environment of where I'm leaving my hard-earned money at. Because inside of those other vehicles like 401ks, IULs, money market accounts, etc., etc., I mean, inside of those accounts, it's going to fluctuate and grow based on bank rates and what they want to set, or the market rates and what the stock markets are doing out there on Wall Street. So these types of accounts are really investments, in my opinion, because an investment can go up in value, but it can also go down and lose value. And I am never going to tell you how to go make the the money, how to go invest the money. Yes, we should be putting our money to work into different investments that we like, know, and understand, but I'm not going to tell you how to go invest the money. If you want to have those buddy-buddy conversations, we can, and I'll tell you what I'm doing and what's working out for me in my own personal life, but what we really want to do is we want to control the environment of where we're leaving that hard-earned money at. Because again, if you really think your money's backed up by the FDIC, just leaving it down there at the local bank, earning you pennies, that's taxable pennies growth. I mean, we got to have that come to Jesus meeting right now. Go back through my past episodes where I did it with my good friend, John Hurl, and we're talking about the creation of the Federal Reserve System. Why it came about, what is it, and it really, it all stems from that book, The Creature of Jekyll Island by Edward Griffin. So we need to understand that we got to protect our wealth and our family and keeping the money in the family so we can keep continuing to build our family empire for ourselves. So it's your dollar, you can control it, and it kind of even goes into the fact of that you should control your spending habits as well. I mean, it's now you. When you are your own banker in your own life, it's all up to you and how you use your policy. Because nobody can screw up the policy besides you and how you're using it. So, you know, to just live within your means, okay? That's kind of why I like some of Dave Ramsey's teachings. Do I agree with everything that he says? No, I'll be honest. But I do appreciate the fact that he's teaching American families how to budget, live within their means, and not go out there and overspending. Because my dad kind of makes the joke, hey, some people think if they have checks on their counter that there's still money in the bank. And that just may not be the truth as well. So control your spending habits, live within your means, and budget yourself, and you should be budgeting. So another shout out, Rocket Money, if you're tuning into my episode, sponsor me, because I love that app. That's how I budget, and I know where my money is being spent, how much I'm spending every single month, and to what I'm producing as income each month. Because it's really cool too, you know, how I always teach y'all that we should be saving at least 10% of our income. You know, so on my app, I will actually be able to see how much I'm saving and keeping for myself. Because that's one of the things that I'll ask y'all when we're talking on the phone together. If this is, we're doing like a first one-time strategy call together, I ask you and I say, well, hey, what's your income? What are you producing? All right, you know what you're producing. What's your monthly expenses? And sometimes there's like a very long pause. And sometimes I get the, well, I don't know, Hannah. I don't even know what my monthly expenses are. And sometimes y'all think that IBC is going to be that silver bullet that solves all of your financial needs. And it's not. You got to understand how to budget first. And then once we know how to budget, then comes the second step of where you're storing and keeping the money at, which should be within the policy, your whole life policy. So now we get to that second step of, okay, I know how to budget. I know how to keep the money within my control, protect it, grow it, guaranteed, uninterrupted compounding. All right, now I know how to do that. Well, what should I go do with this? Because I shouldn't just be sitting here hoarding my money for myself. Because I agree, right? Money is made in the motion of it. And actually, I even got my Chris Noggle shirt on. Monies. And so it talks about how money is just opportunity and a resource for us. So once we get to that second step, now the third step, I would say first is that if we have any bad debts that are out there, start using your policy to go and tackle on those bad debts first, like our credit cards, the depreciating assets like cars, boats, fun toys. I don't know. Maybe you got an IRS bill that you got some back taxes that you owe, right? Let's get those suckers out of there first. So then you can start taking back the control, freeing up some of that monthly cash flow that you're sending out the door to the other people. And then now, once the bad debt has gotten paid off, how do I really bridge that gap between debt payoff to now wealth building? So that's what we want to do. Bridge the gap so that now I can start using my policy cash values for more of the wealth building in my life. And that's when it really comes to talk about investments. You know, where are you putting your money to work at? Because money is just a resource and it's nothing more than a means of exchange. And that's another thing we talk about a lot when we go out and teach this concept live is that folks will do things with money that you would never do with things that money buys. You know, you would never go out there and go purchase a house and then wait 5, 10, 20, 30 years in the future to move into that house. That would be stupid and that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? So why do you folks do things with money that you would never do with things that money buys? So what I'm saying is that keep the money in motion. Go put those little green men to work. Go put the green men out there working into those different investments and asset classes that you like, so that now you're creating and producing an army of green men that are out there working for you, so that you no longer have to go out and start working for it. That's all that we're doing. And I don't think it's hard. I think my mindset, just because I've been around this stuff for, I mean, what, going on 14 plus years now, and my dad just talking about it all the time, I think I'm just on that mindset shift of the total 180 parallel, where I don't hoard and just keep my money stagnant sitting somewhere. I'm going to go put that money in motion into different things that I like, know, and understand. So whether it's private lending in the real estate space, whether it's multifamily, maybe it's notes that I like to buy, maybe it's gold and silver. I don't know. I personally like to invest in things that create me cash flow. So, you know, gold and silver is okay. I think it's good to hedge against inflation. And if you listen to my Tucson episode, it's when shit hits the fan that, hey, we got some other assets and commodities that we can barter and trade with when the dollar, if it does in the future, just go totally down to complete shit. All right, this is my podcast. I can cuss on here, okay? So, you know, gold and silver is okay to me. I hold a little bit of it. There's even like, some folks are investing into like forklifts right now. I know my dad just did it and a few of my clients are doing it too. Chris Noggle's very big into it, but, you know, forklifts, yeah, that's a cool investment. My biggest thing with that investment is just, I don't see a cash flow stream that comes in every single month. I basically buy the forklift and then they will refurbish it and then go out there on the marketplace and sell it. And then once they sell the forklift, that's when I get my investment principal back plus the proceeds of that investment, the interest that I earned by selling it, which is okay. I mean, some people are into that stuff. I just have a lot of expenses that are going out the door right now. So, and this is just me personally, right? Because everybody's different in where they're at in their financial life. But for me personally, just where I'm at right now, I bought the new Bronco. I bought my almost $1 million condo, and I just have a whole boatload of expenses that are going out right now. And I'm trying to see where I'm at because things are new right now. I want to manage my expenses that I have. So I want that cash flow that's coming into me right now. So maybe in the future, I may be purchasing a forklift. I know my older brother just did. He bought two of them. My dad actually bought five of them. He's already sold three. And when I say he sold three, he isn't the one going out there and selling it. Because trust me, Brent Kessler forklifts. Yeah, he has no idea what in the hell he's talking about. So it's the company that he's working with who's really helping him with that. But, you know, there could be different investments that you like. Maybe you are into stocks and options trading, like my good friend Ollie. I had Ollie on my past mastermind webinar that we did back in January. So he goes by Ollie Cashflow. You can go look him up on Instagram and TikTok and different avenues like that, because he does weekly trainings, but he's very big into the crypto forex world and different things like that. But even if you have just a small amount, I mean, some folks will ask me, well, hey, how much money do I really need to have to get started in lending? I mean, if you go out there to the privatemoneyclub.com, there are even deals that are right around $15,000 to $20,000 that you can go and lend your money out on. You know, treasury bonds, I hold some treasury bonds. The max to put into there is $10,000. So you could start as little as $100, I believe, all the way up to $10,000. So there's different things that if you don't have a whole lot of money, you can really teach yourself how to go and place that small capital that you have to work. And I don't want to disregard when I say the word small. Everybody's where they're at right now, okay? I mean, the folks in my age range, I mean, you could probably only be sitting on $300 that you want to go and invest somewhere. So go talk to Ollie. You can start trading with $300 to your bank account and go put that to work in the crypto or stocks and options trades that he's teaching over there. So it's just important to maximize every dollar that you have that flows through your hand. And all I'm saying with the policies is that it's just adding the one additional step. All we're doing is we're just taking the money, we're leveraging the cash values from the policy, and we're just funneling it through the policy first, and then from the policy, we're taking it out to then go buy our investments, the purchases, the weddings, the vacations, taxes we gotta pay. I don't know, whatever it is that you have going on right now in your life, we're just using the policy cash values to do so, because now we are controlling the environment. We are in control of that transaction of every dollar in purchase that we're financing. I mean, how freaking cool is it, y'all? You play all roles now in that banking system in your life. You are the depositor, you are the bank, and you are the borrower. You are in control of all of those three roles in your banking function in your life now. I mean, it's powerful. It's powerful, powerful stuff. And we're just not taught this in the conventional wisdom and education that you get in schools and colleges out there. And that's probably how you stumbled upon my video, because you're thinking, hey, I'm sick and tired of taking the losses in the market. I don't like my W-2 job and being tied down to that 9-to-5 lifestyle. I want to be able to go out, go travel, see my family, go see the world and the country that we have here in this beautiful earth that we call America. And sometimes it just takes pain and suffering to want to go out and do something better for yourself and your family. So I just applaud y'all for taking the steps just to wanting to better yourself in your financial life, because it is hard. And I mean, even for myself, it takes discipline, it takes knowledge and education and understanding. And once you get to that point, now it's just the implementation of doing it. All right. So again, don't just have your money sit there eroding in the bank account, not doing anything. Go and put those resources to work for you so that then it's out there working and you no longer have to go and chase the dollars. So With that being said, I think that's all I really wanted to talk about and share on today's episode of the true value of the dollar is that, you know, use the good money today, okay? Be in that top 5% bracket where you are now creating this world for yourself of true financial freedom and literacy that now you can pass down to the next generations and lines. I mean, take myself for example. Y'all, if you want me to, if I'm right around your kids' age, if you want me to hop on the phone with them and talk shop on that level of where they're at right now, I will do it. I'm always around and I'm always available. So holler at me. Y'all got my email. It's Hannah. Hannah spelled the same ways forwards and backwards. Hannah@themoneymultiplier.com. Reach out to me if you got questions. You just want to talk for a little bit. I'm always around and I'm always here. So again, 100 episodes. How freaking cool. I wish I had like a little blowhorn right now, the whoo, but I just don't. So, Daisy, do you got any words? She's like, no, mom, just shut up so I can just keep sitting here and sunbathing with myself. So I appreciate y'all. If you got questions or you got other topics you want me to talk about, put a comment down below. I'm always reading your comments. And subscribe to the channel. Click the bell icon. You will get notified every time a new episode gets posted. So we're here every single Tuesday. You can join the YouTube community. We even got the Facebook group around. All right. Almost 7,000 members in the Facebook group. Folks are just bouncing ideas off each other or different investments that they have that they're looking for capital or lenders who are looking to lend money on there. So come out and come hang out with the community. We're doing weekly webinars as well. And I just want to keep posting out this free content and information to y'all. So until next week, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining me. And I'll catch y'all here soon. Bye now.